For Parshas Bechukosai, we want to study an essay, or at least part of an essay. It's a long one, depending on time, allotment, is Shalmei Nochum, in which he weaves together a number of comments of the Ramban. Now, the pasuk that he's focused on at the very beginning of the parasha is V'nasati Mishkani V'Sochechem, which is a great bracha in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that He will place His sanctuary amongst you. V'lo tig'al nafshi eschem, and my spirit will not reject you. And this is all, of course, im b'chukosei teilechu, it's conditional. Then later on in the parasha we have what's called the klolos, and the Torah says that if you will violate the Torah and not fulfill your obligation and live up to the requirements of the bris, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you will be cursed with many different things. And that's the parasha of Bechukosai here at the very end of Sefer Vayikra. It's called the Tochacha, or the Klolos of Bechukosai Lo Tishmu Li Lo Tasu Es Kol HaMitzvos Elu. And then it goes on to say Vifkadati Aleichem, a lot of scary stuff here. Baholo, Shachafes, Kadachas, all the terrible things. Okay. So the Ramban, first of all, in his comment, he tells us that in the bracha, in the context of the bracha here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us Mishkani, and we identify the Mishkan as the base. The Beis HaMikdash. So the first bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon the people of Israel is the Beis HaMikdash. Now we should know in general that the concept of brachos is not the first time that we are coming in contact, encountering the brachos. We have it back in Parshas Mishpatim. And there it says, "V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem." If you will serve your God, then uberech es lachmecha ves meimecha. Hashem will bless your bread and your water. Vaseros vasirosi machlo mikirbecha, and I will remove all the diseases from amongst you. So the Ramban here at the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai wants to understand how these brachos here at the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai are different than those that are given in Parshas Mishpatim, because at the face of it, it seems like it's a repetition, more or less the same. And you can ask a similar question with regard to the klolos, because the klolos appear not just at the end of Sefer Yikra and Bechukosai, but they reappear in Parashas Kisavo, which is again in Mishneh Torah, the klolos that are there. So the Ramban says the following. You'll see this on the first page that I gave you. I think, Jeremy, you can get it there if you like. Oh, you got one? Okay, there are a couple of extra copies if anyone comes in afterwards. And the Ramban writes that he says that what's unique about these brachos, and he says the following. Again, part of this Ramban we will kind of summarize, and parts of it we'll read and go into a little bit more detail about the language of the Ramban. He says that these blessings, according to their plain meaning, im heyosam rabos, they are numerous, klolios, and they're general, be'inyan amotar vasova vashol piri verivya, these are blessings of rain, plenty, peace, and many children. Einam kmo abrocho sheberach kfar b'ktsara. This is not to be equated with the blessings of Parshas Mishpatim that are very that are very succinct, or shall we say abridged. And we're not seeing a repetition here of the brachos of Mishpatim. Ki sham, there in Mishpatim, yavtiach b'machal u'b'mishte. The basic thrust of the bracha is food and drink. That we will not suffer from illness, physical illness. Akein, therefore, you, klei hazera shleimim, the reproductive organs are healthy, ubriim, they're wholesome and healthy, and nolad kahogin, they'll give birth properly, and will live out full lives, and there shall be no woman who loses her young, etc. And that's why the pasuk there in Mishpatim says, "Ki ani Hashem rofecha, I am your healer." And the explanation is, says the Ramban, that these blessings, even though they do constitute miracles, but they are amongst the hidden miracles. Hey, min anisim anistarim. In other words, these are not obvious miracles, but here's the punchline. I want you to underline the next four words. Vehem afilu liyachid ha'oved. Hashem is addressing the individual. So if you or I fulfill our obligation with regard to the mitzvahs, Hashem is promising a blessing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a shomer, he protects, a chassid, a person who's pious, who observes all the mitzvahs Hashem, and he'll guard him from sickness and infertility or the loss of his young. Oh. But now in contrast, aval, you see the word aval? The second paragraph? Aval elu habrachos shebeparsha zos heim klolios ba'am. These are general brachos, and they apply to the nation as a whole. V'heim biyos kol amenu kulam tzadikim li'olam. The Ramban, which he says already in Sefer Dvarim in Perek Yud Aleph, that the fulfillment of God's miracles and his blessings for the people are depending upon the deeds of the majority of the people. And that's what he means, kulam tzadikim. The majority of the Jewish people are righteous. And lachain, oh, this is what I want you to underline. V'lachain yazkir tamid b'kan ha'aretz. As we go through the brachos, we'll see that time and time again the Torah emphasizes the aretz. What's the aretz?
Eretz Yisrael.
Eretz Yisrael, correct. Eretz Yisrael, the blessings are addressed to the klal, meaning to the nation as a whole, not to individuals, and therefore the pasuk continuously mentions the land, meaning the land of Israel, as a whole, because we're talking again about the klal, the nation, not the individuals that we saw in Parshas Mishpatim. And he quotes four psukim, where the word Eretz, it's going to say here in Pasuk Dalet, it'll say V'nasna ha'aretz, and then it'll say Lavetach bi'artzachem, and then it says Shalom ba'aretz and Mina aretz, Lo Savar bi'artzachem. And these are all here psukim Dalet, He, and Vav at the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai. And Ela Brachas Kulam Nisan. Now we're talking about not hidden miracles, but absolute miracles. Okay? And he says, for example, the fact that the rain, you know, the fact that you will have food and drink, you know, an ample supply to sustain you, that's already a hidden miracle. And that's for the individual, that's in Parshas Mishpatim. But the fact that the rains are going to come down, that's already, he says, Ein B'tevashi Yavoag Shamim. In other words, it's not natural for the rains to come. Not only that, God will guarantee us peace from our enemies, and that fear will come into their hearts. 100 will flee before 5. You remember that's a famous passage that we're going to have of Lonus Meir Mipnei Achamisha. Basosam Chukim Mishpat, because the Jewish people as a whole are righteous and following and fulfilling the decrees and the commandments of the Torah. He says, V'lo yeh hefech hakol mipnei zareinu hashana shvius, and the klolos, the curses, will not befall us because we have, chas v'shalom, violated the Shemitah laws, but rather we have fulfilled these laws, and therefore God will protect us. V'yafal pishem nisim nistarim sha'olam kiminhago Noeg Omed, Aval he misparsim mitzad ha-yosem tamid li'olam b'chol ha'aretz. In other words, if you want to say that God protects one individual, okay, that could be hidden. But when God is protecting the entire people, tamid li'olam b'chol ha'aretz, meaning that time and again, year after year, the ground is, and the waters are coming from, you know, abundant rainwater is coming from the ground, and everything is going perfect. He says that's already begetterness. That's already something that we could perceive as a miracle. So let's just summarize what we saw in the Ramban, and you'll see this on the bottom of your page, that with regard to the brachos and parshas Mishpatim, we're talking about the Yachid, who observes the mitzvahs. Here in Vayikra, and again we're going to see this in Mishneh Torah, in Parshas Ki Tavo, the brachas and the klolos are related to the entire nation as a whole, and for some reason that justifies the repetition over and over again of the word Eretz, V'nosno la'aretz, L'betach li'artzchem, etc. Now on your second page, we're going to take a look at the Ramban in Vayik, in Dvarim, in Parshas Ekev, and there we have the second parasha of Kriyas Shema, says B'chol Levavchem B'chol Nafshechem, and the Ramban explains that Hashem doesn't do nisim on a regular basis to give ample rain every moment coming down from the sky. Rak al Maisa Rov Ha'am, but God bestows this blessing upon the people when they, as a nation, the majority of the people, are dedicated to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Aval Yachid, again, the Yachid might be in his, you know, merit, he might have food to eat and drink, but it's not going to affect the nation as a whole. There won't be rains coming down on the land. And then the Ramban says, Vehine omar ki basisem basosem kol mitzvus mi ava shlema yasei moimus kol nisim elu. But if the people as a whole, the nation as a tzibur, will dedicate themselves to do the mitzvahs bi'ava with a tremendous full love, then Hashem promises these miracles, and the whole of Eretz Yisrael will operate based on these miracles.
But how can we, why does it say it's only by the tzibur, or the Roman tzibur? I mean, isn't that against what it said? In Parshas Baraglim, Ayishko Eitz so Ayin, where you're talking about only about the tzaddik of the door or something, rather, is protecting the Avim. So it doesn't require the Rov Tzibur, it only requires the God.
Well, again, if the tzaddik of the door is somehow generating certain merits that protect the door, that's only on a very, you know, pinpointed basis. You know, maybe in some critical crisis, Hashem will protect it. But now we're talking about an ongoing niyug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu tamid with Klal Yisrael. That's already because Klal Yisrael are on a very high level. Then on a regular basis, continuously, God is going to bring about these miracles to protect the people.
And that requires a rov.
And that seems to require rov. That seems to be the Ramban's approach. That's not the focal point of our discussion. But if you take a look, the Ramban adds an element into the equation called Kiddush Hashem. And he says that there's a fundamental difference between the bracha for the yachid, for the individual, which is in Parashas Mishpatim, and the bracha for the klal in Parashas Bechukosai. The latter is going to generate a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Why? Because it's going to be this public miracle that impacts on an entire nation. And he says the following. He says, V'afal pi shehem nisim nistarim, but nevertheless ha'olam kiminhago noig olam aval heim misparsim mitzad yosem tamid li olam b'chol ha'aretz. Now, if God saves or spares and protects a tzaddik as an individual, that's called a nes nistar. But here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is organizing a system that protects the nation of Israel on an ongoing basis, that becomes a well-known miracle. And by virtue of that miracle, there's going to be a pirsum, a public miracle for the entire land. And again, if an individual righteous man lives and God removes illness from him, okay, no one would acknowledge that as a miracle, except for maybe the tzaddik himself. But here we're talking about the entire nation. He says, Yikra zeh gam b'mikzor shoyim. Now, sometimes even a Russia who falls ill might have a kind of unusual recovery. So that doesn't prove that it's a divine intervention. Hashkocha pratzaval kshetia eretz achas kula. When you have an entire land and am echad, one nation, tamid beredes hageshem beita, always experiencing rain falling in its time, and there's sova, there's shalom, there's plenty, there's peace, there's tranquility, health, might, defeat of the enemies. He says that's be'inyan she'ein kamo b'chol olam. That's not similar to anything that happens in the rest of the world. Is then yivada l'kol, it becomes clear to everyone. Again, except for those deniers, if you know what I mean. Ki be'eis Hashem o'isazos, that this is from God. And that's what it means for ro kol amei oretz. This is going to generate a tremendous Kiddush Hashem when the nations of the world will acknowledge the miracles of God for the protection of Israel. Vahefach zeyeh b'klolos, and the flip side, the opposite applies to the curses, the anshei ha'aretz, when the punishments affect the land as a whole, right? Sha'or v'nasati es shmeichem Kabarza, make the heavens like iron. It means that there's no rain that's penetrating through this iron protection. The onshei achole, and there'll be punishments of illness. Kamo shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'chaloim roim v'nemonim. If I'm not mistaken, this is not in our tochach and v'chukosai. This pasuk is in Parshas Ki Tovu and Sefer Dvarim. Sheikala machol v'mishta v'yachli. In other words, that God will, in a sense, curse the food and the drink, and that's going to cause illness. So the word viachli comes from the word choli. The isparse manesbi also tamid kayam bekula. The miracle become known because of the fact that it's constant and it impacts on the entire people and not just individuals. Al kain kasuv, the pasuk says, v'omar ador ha'acharon b'neichem asher yakumu. This is a pasuk in Dvarim in Perkov Tes. The pasuk says that the later generations will declare that your children will arise after you. They'll see the plagues in the land and its illness which Hashem has inflicted in it. And all this, he says, is public knowledge. Everyone acknowledges that these terrible curses are really a ness. So this is an interesting twist here in the Ramban, that the Ramban is saying not only are the brachas considered a ness, and there's pirsum anes through the brachos that God bestows, but even the klolos, the chaloim royim and so forth, is yisparsim anes biyoso tamid. Very interesting. And then he goes on and he says, Shelo yitmu b'isha hu esher rav tzabo kol ha'olah hazos. He says, people not be amazed about an individual upon that came upon him the entire klola. Ki yeh kein pa'avi rabbis min hogu shalolam b'chol umos shiavo mikrim royim b'ish echa. The fact that one person suffers tremendously, that is understood and perceived as part of the natural order of the world, and it happens amongst all nations. Rak, but in contrast, ba'aretz, when it's the land as a whole, and yitmuhu v'yishalov yomukol agoyim al me'a os Hashem kocha la'aretz hazos, that when there are the constant curses, the unusual curses that befall an entire nation, they will be amazed and ask about it. And all the nations will say, for what reason did Hashem do so to the land? For all of them will see and realize the hand of Hashem has done this. V'amru al asher ozvu es bris Hashem elokei avosam. Now, I'm thinking a lot about the Shoah in this context of the Ramban, that there's some sort of a pirsum hanes as a result of the evil that befalls the people. And I once read an article by what's his name from the Badatz? It'll come to me in just a second. You know who I mean? He was a Rav in South Africa. I don't know why his name is just jumping out. Anyway, so he claims that if you take a look at the history of the Shoah and the destruction of the Jews, he says that there were some very unusual things that were going on here that wouldn't make sense based on the natural law. And very often the enemy worked against his own best interest to destroy the Jewish people. It doesn't make sense. And when they should have been running away from the advancing armies, they were too busy murdering Jews, you know, especially in Hungary and other places as well. And therefore, you see that even in the curses, there's some sort of pirsum anes. So let's just see the summary of this Ramban here on the bottom of page Tof Hey, which is the second of your pages. He says, from the brachas and the klos that were given to the klal of Klal Yisrael Beretz Yisrael, there's a Kiddush Hashem, a great Kiddush Hashem in this world, because when the Jewish people fulfill the mitzvahs and the bracha is chal on the Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, even though it looks like a nes nistar, but since it happens on a constant basis, everyone is going to acknowledge and recognize that this is the Yad Hashem, and that's the Kiddush Hashem of the brachos. V'chein lehepach. And here you're turning to page 3. He says, "Shelo yishmu as mitzvah Hashem." Now Hashem brings about the curses, the klolos on the entire nation. That also is something that's unnatural and cannot be explained according to the natural law. And everyone will understand and appreciate that this is from Yad Hashem. So it's fascinating that according to the Ramban, there are two dimensions of Kiddush Hashem. One Kiddush Hashem is generated by the brachos, the fulfillment of the brachos. And the other is by the fulfillment of the klolos. That too is a Kiddush Hashem. Again, we're going to try to get into that a little bit later. But the other difference between Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Bechukosai is where not only that the former is a bracha for the individual and there's no Kiddush Hashem, whereas our parsha, the brachos in Bechukosai, are for the nation, and that is a Kiddush Hashem. The additional difference is that the brachos of Mishpatim apply anywhere on the face of the earth. The brachos of Bechukosai are limited to Eretz Yisrael. And the question is why. But first, let's talk about a different thing. Let's talk about the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered into with Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel. We mentioned it last week. The Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, with regard to the brachos and klolos, and the connection to the bris of Kabbalah Satorah, the Ramban says, "Ubir ha'inyon ki b'tchilas arboim yom harishonim shaluchos harishonos." The first 40 days when Moshe was up on the mountain, he comes down and he writes a sefer bris. It's called Divrei Hashem. It's called Mishpatim. This is all at the end of Parshas Mishpatim in Shmos Chaf Dalet. Vayizrok dam habris al ha'am. In the context of this bris, there's going to be a zrikas hadam. Ukshechatu the egel, as a result of the sin of the egel, nishtavu al luchos kilu nisbatla bris hahi eitz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now at the time of the second luchos, we're going to need a second bris to replace the first bris, because in the footsteps of the chet egel, Hashem completely rescinded the original bris. It became null and void, and now we need a new bris. And that's why the pasuk says, "V'hine anochi kores bris." And in that second bris to replace the first one, God reviews some of the basic and severe fundamental mitzvahs of the Torah, and that happens as a repetition of what happened at the end of Parshas Mishpatim in the first bris. Hashem commands Moshe to ksov lecha advar ma'elu al pi, ki al pi advar ma'elu karati itcha bris v'es Yisrael. And the Rabban understands that this is a new bris to replace the first one. And what happens, what catastrophe happens between the first bris and the second? Chet HaEgel. V'ratza kodesh baruch l'hachmer aleim b'bris hazos. What's the difference between the second bris and the first bris. After all, Hashem, in the context of the bris, is again reviewing the commitment to mitzvahs. The answer is that this second bris, so whereas the first bris and Hashem demanding a commitment of Nasa v'Nishma to the mitzvahs there, in the context of that covenant, God does not impose or scare us with a whammy that will be cursed, but now Hashem no longer trusts Klal Yisrael, and He requires this kind of a klala in order to, in a sense, move or inspire Klal Yisrael, or put the fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they should not repeat the same kind of averus like Chet HaEgel a second time around. So to summarize this Ramban, the Chet HaEgel now generated a bitul abris rishona, completely voiding the first bris and nullifying it, and therefore there was a great need to replace the first bris with a second bris, a brand new bris. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh by adding olos uklolos. So for example, if we take a look here in Parshas Bechukosai, in Perkav Vav, it says, the Rabban says, V'ela abrochos b'tashlumeim lo tiyeno rak b'yos kol Yisrael osim ritzon avim u'binyan shamayim v'oretz sholem al mechono v'ein batora brochos shlemos ka'ela shehem divrei abris v'atnoim asher b'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'b'einim. So the Rabban says in his commentary here in Bechukosai that the brachos are given to Klal Yisrael with the will of God, and these are the Divrei HaBris. What does the Ramban mean here in Bechukosai to say that the brachos are Divrei HaBris? What bris? And the answer is that this is the second bris to replace the first bris, and this second bris is going to introduce the brachos of klolos that were completely absent in the first bris. V'tzarech bir, he wants to understand why. Why was there a need to embellish and strengthen the second bris with brachos and klolos? Okay, it's a new bris, but why do you have to repeat brachos and klolos? The Torah has all the brachos and klolos. And apparently, the krisas bris in the second round to replace the first round required brachos and klolos, which were omitted in the first bris. You have page 4 now, which should say Tez Zayin on it. I meant to say. Now at this point, he quotes another Ramban. As I said at the outset, his godless, the Shalmei Nochem, is to stitch together all the Rambans. You know, there's so many Rambans. And this is Ramban in Parashas HaZinu at the end of the Torah. And the Ramban here indicates what is the purpose of Klal Yisrael in this world. Why did God create Klal Yisrael? And the Ramban is very interested in knowing this, because if we have an answer as to justifying why we as a nation were created, then we can explain that even after the sin, and in the case of the eagle it was a severe one, God still didn't destroy the people, because when He created the world, He created Klal Yisrael, and they have to fulfill a very definite purpose in this world. And he says the following, that the reason why Klal Yisrael will live forever, eternally, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, and they would not be lost in the Golus, is because only through Klal Yisrael does Hashem, in the plan, in the architectural plan, so to speak, of creation, does God fulfill the purpose of creation. Meaning that the purpose of creation is that people, the human beings that walk this earth, should recognize the Creator and should give praise to Him. And it's only through Klal Yisrael that purpose, that ultimate tachlis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would become a reality. There are no other nations whatsoever on the face of the earth who can be makabel, who can justify the creation of the world, because they will publicize the name of God. The publicity that God is going to get, so to speak, if you pardon that phrase, is through Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is the only nation that could fulfill this goal and this purpose of creation, namely that Bnei Adam Yakiru es Boram V'yodu Lishma. This is a pretty powerful idea, that the person of Shmo Yisrael depends upon Klal Yisrael. God created the world in such a way that he, Kaviyachol, depends upon the people of Israel. And therefore there cannot be any purpose in this world without Klal Yisrael. This is the Ramban's contention. I don't know how many nations on the face of the earth would agree to this, and they would confess that this is the case. But we have to know for ourselves, meaning that you can tell yourself.
That's consistent with the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, which is the Kei El Avraham, or the Kei Yisrael, the Kei Yaakov. Doesn't say Avraham was the Eved of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Eloka Avraham. So the Pirsuma, the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes through Avraham.
Right. And Avraham, in that sense, according to the Ramban, is the representative of all of Klal Yisrael.
Right.
And we don't realize this Ramban, it's not really something that we allow to penetrate into our hearts and our souls, that our purpose as a Jewish nation, as a unique people on the face of the earth, which justifies that we can survive and continue to survive for all of eternity, is because we are the Mepharsimim, we are those who publicize God's name. Through us, the name of God becomes public. And let's go back to the Ramban now in Parashas Bo. Not just the Ramban at the end of the Torah, but towards the beginning of the Torah, the Ramban says, "V'noda elav shehu paranu v'hi kavanas ha-yitzira," that we, through the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, will publicize God's creative powers, because if God can bring about these miracles of the Eser Makos, then He certainly has the power to create the world. And Tachlis Am Yisrael, says the Ramban, the purpose of Klal Yisrael, the ultimate goal, is to be mefarsem Hashem's creative power. In other words, we have to publicize to the entire universe, to the entire world, so that they will recognize that Hashem is the great God of creation, etc., etc. And he says, "Ube'emes ze gufa in yona shel abris." What does it mean that God enters into a bris relationship between Klal Yisrael and Avinu Shebashamayim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set it up in such a way that since the Gilui of the Elokus in this world and the declaration that God is the sovereign real, that will come through Klal Yisrael, that's the Tachlis Abriya. This makes the Jewish people the Ama Nivchar, the chosen people, because through them Bnei Adam, the bulk, the balance of mankind, of human beings, will come lahakir es boram ulahodos lishmo. They will eventually come to recognize their Creator and sing His praises. That takes us to number Tav Ches. Okay, I don't think you have Tav Ches. Okay, look, we ran out of paper. So I would say the following. I'm going to summarize what I see here on Tav Ches. In the meantime, I also wanted to give this page because I want to make a connection between the two. So you did get five pages from me. I mean, five sides. Hopefully you won't complain about that, because you all have a very good nature. But just to fill in what he says here, go ahead, Alan, do you want to say something?
It seems that on the surface you would say, what's the difference? I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu's name is before some, whether it's L'Klal or L'Libracha, it's either way, the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes
publicized.
So
it's a funny kind of thing. We have Brachos and Klolos, and both really justify the existence of the people of Israel.
Right.
The easier one, intuitively, for us to understand and appreciate is the Brachos, because then all these great miracles of constant rain, etc., etc., prove and demonstrate God's great power in this world. So that's the great Kiddush Hashem and Pirsum of Elokus that comes through Bracha. But paradoxically, the Ramban is maintaining that even in the case of Klala, for example, after Klal Yisrael deviated from the will of God, they violated the Chet HaEgel, and on the one hand that's a terrible Chil Hashem, because how can the people of Israel worship an Egel But on the flip side of it, paradoxically, because of the great punishment that Klal Yisrael is going to suffer for that crime, that klala and its fulfillment is going to be a kiddush Hashem in this world, because there's going to be such an unusual and extreme type of klala, the terrible things that are going to befall Klal Yisrael, that itself paradoxically is a kiddush Hashem, because these supernatural, is there such a word, supernatural?
Sure. Yeah.
Supernatural events of klala will again publicize, because there's no other way of explaining them, of justifying them. After the Cheta Egel, the Shevet Levi came forward and they said, Mi Lashem Eli. And they killed, I think it was 3,000, the Pasuk says, no? And these were the worshippers of the Egel. It's unbelievable, but that Farhesia, in which the Bnei Levi took up the sword, so to speak, Mi Lashem Eli, and destroyed the Ovdei HaEgel, that itself is a Kiddush Hashem. Pretty wild. I mean, you talk about Kiddush Hashem in the context of the death of some... I'll read to you the Ramban's language. He says, Kevon Sheroa Sa'am, when Hashem realized that the nation at the time of the Egel reached that lowest low, Zeu Chil Hashem, then Moshe Rabbeinu Omad B'Shar HaMachne V'kor V'kol Godol Mil Hashem Elai V'harg B'Farhesi Av Kol Ovdei HaEgel K'dei Sheyishma Adover B'Kameyem V'Yizkadei Shom Shem Shomayim Bohem Tachas Chil Sha'oncho. So they did a Chil Hashem by worshipping the idol, and the substitute, as a result, is going to be the Farhesia of the destruction of the Ovdei HaEgel. So there was a Chil Hashem as an immediate result of worshipping the Egel, but at the same time, the Ramban says it was a great Kiddush Hashem by the destruction of the Ovdei HaEgel, their death. Very paradoxical. We have both. On the one hand, this is a terrible Chil Hashem. This is the people of Israel, this is the Am Sgula, and they're worshipping an Egel? But the paradox is that there is a Chil Hashem through the punishment of the Ovdei HaEgel, because it's an unusual, miraculous, supernatural punishment. And he writes here, as a summary of the Ramban, that al yidei chil Hashem, as a result of worshipping the Egel, his batla bris, the bris was completely null and void, and huvrar shalo darkom tiskayim tachas abriya. At this particular juncture in history, it's obvious that the fulfillment of God's purpose in creation is not going to come through Klal Yisrael, and that's why the whole bris is gone. The deal is off, as we would say, because of the Chil Hashem of worshipping the Egel. But, and here's the paradox, he says that with regard to the brachos and klolos, they become part of the bris, because through the brachos and even the klolos, he apirsum lishmo yisparach ba'olam, even when Klal Yisrael sin, is going to be a pirsum of Shmo Yisbarach Ba'olam, because of the brachos and the klolos that will be fulfilled. It's pretty wild. Now, if this be the case, then we begin to answer another question. Why in Parashas Bechukosei does the Torah repeat itself 5-6 times Ba'aretz? And in Eretz Yisrael, he says the Ikar Bris, in which the Jewish people are given the mantle or the obligation to be mafarsim shmo yisbarach ba'olam, that bris is in Eretz Yisrael. That's the place on the face of the earth that is designated for pirsim shmo. And that's why the brachos and klolos happen in Eretz Yisrael. And he says that this is also clear from the Ramban in many places, but especially in Parashas Achrimos. That's where the Ramban says his famous principle that the land will vomit up the sinners. Veheki Esaretz. He says that the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos reveals the secret of Eretz Yisrael. And this is the language of the Ramban. The Ramban says, Nachas Hashem Yucheres Lishmo. This is the Nachla that's dedicated to the name of Hashem. There are no intermediaries, there are no malachim, there's no katzin, v'shoter, u'moshel. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly supervising Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hivdil osanu mikol ha'amim, asher nosan aleim sorim velohim acherim. All other nations have an intermediary. They have some sort of malach up in Shamayim, like Soro Shalesov in that case. But when God gives us the land, then Hu Yisbarach Lanu Lelokim Miuchadim Lishmo. There's a direct relationship between HaKadosh Baruch and the land of Israel. No intermediaries, no malachim whatsoever. And the Ramban, well, actually at this point it's very interesting, the Shalmei Nachum quotes a Vilna Gaon in Aderes Aliyoh in Dvarim on the pasuk that says in Vayeschan, it says Mikiam for Yisrael Goyechad Ba'aretz, says the Gaon Kishneim Hem B'Yichud. It says Goy and it says Echad and Ba'aretz. The word Echad in the middle, sandwiched in the middle, goes both on Goy, meaning the Jewish people are Echad, meaning they're unique, and Ba'aretz is also unique. There's only one such land. Yisrael, Mashbiim Umos, the Eretz Yisrael Mikol Haratzos. Now, I think what he's saying is, you know, that Michael spoke at Shalshusi, I don't know if you were here, he spoke at the number 70. In honor of his 70th birthday. And he said that there are, according to Chazal, there are 70 nations on the face of the earth. And each one of these nations occupy a different land on the globe. But the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, is above all the other nations. But even though there are Shivim Umos, connected to Shivim Umos, you have one against 70. And therefore, oh, he quotes what you said before, Alan, that God is called Elokei Yisrael. And he's also called Elokei Haaretz. So with regard to Avram Avinu, he says Elokei Shamayim Vaaretz. And he wants to explain that B'shah Shalakach Oso Hoya B'chutz Laaretz. Interesting that at the time that God designated Avram Avinu, that was in Chutz Laaretz. V'chein nedshu afilu nochrim mipnei shelo shamru es haTorah ba'aretz.
What?
He's saying that when Klal Yisrael violated the will of God, they would be punished severely in the land. And the reason for this is because Eretz Yisrael is the place for Gilui Shmo Yisbarach. And if the people of Israel are not doing what they have to do in the land of Israel, then basically we no longer have our rights to claim we are the special people who serve to achieve the purpose for which God created the world of Pirsum Shmo. And the special land that was designated for that purpose of Pirsum Shmo was Eretz Yisrael. What rights do we have if we go off and deviate from the path?
What does he say about nochrim?
Yeah, there's a word here about nochrim. Let me see if I can fill it out. He says, Nenshu afilu nochrim mipnei shelo shomer sator ba'aretz. I don't know what he means by that. For this, I'd need the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Aliyoh, which I don't have. But in any event, let's just summarize the Vilna Gaon's yisod. Eretz Yisrael, hi ha-makom ha-ikri. It's the main area, Legili Shmo Yisbarach Olamo. We say, for example, in Chazal, that Hador B'chutzlaretz Domi L'misha Ein Lo Eloka. He doesn't have that relationship with God if he's in Chutzlaretz. Am Yisrael Hema Am HaMiyuchad L'Hashem U'B'miyuchad Nechshavim L'Goy Echad K'Sheim B'Eretz Yisrael. Goy Echad Ba'aretz. We become a Goy Echad in the land. Ki Eretz Yisrael U'B'nei Yisrael, that is kshurim echad l'sheni, that's one connected to the other. And it becomes clear that when Yisrael sin, and they are pogea, they undermine the whole purpose of creation of Gilui Shmo Yisparach, is therefore the klolos come upon them.
That's what he means to think about Goyim too. That because when we do the right thing, Kadosh Baruch Hu brings a bracha on all the world. That we represent to the Kadosh Baruch Hu all the world, and the same thing with Kote. So they suffer the punishment also.
Right, the klolos are going to impact even on the Goyim.
Right.
And he says, "Lahepak shemakaymes hamitzvos umiskaymim tachlis habrios miskayemes tachlis habrio." Then chalos habrachos b'miuchad be'eretz Yisrael. Why the brachos specifically flow in Eretz Yisrael? Because he ikar makom gilui kvodo yisparach ba'ol. Now there's more to this essay because at the last couple of pages he dedicates to the question about the difference between the klolos here in Bechukosa and the klolos in Parshas Ki Tavo in Mishneh Torah. Maybe we'll leave that for another time. What I wanted to do is study with you a page here. You have a page that looks like this, and he says that this coming Shabbos we're going to read Parshas Bechukosa, and according to Chachamim, Tikein Ezra Sofer, Ezra himself was masaking that on this coming Shabbos we should be reading Parshas Bechukosai. How is that so? And this is based on a Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph. Sheyikru es haklolos sheveparshas Bechukosai lifnei Chag HaShavuos. And v'chein sheyikru es haklolos sheveparshas Kitovo Liachar Rosh Hashanah Kadesha Tagala Hashanah Kadesha Tikla Hashanah Viklolo Seha. So what's going on here is that we're about to enter into a new year. We're going to try to explain why. And we want to get all the klolos done with, behind us, as we enter into this new year. So for example, the klolos in Parshas Ki Tov we're going to read before Rosh Hashanah, and the klolos in Parshas Bechukosei before Chag HaShavuos. And in the language of the Gemara, Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra Tikin Len Yisrael Sheyu Korin Klolos Shebetoris Kohanim Kodem Atzeres, right before Shavuos. Ube Shebet Mishneh Torah, the Klolos of Parshas Ki Tavo Kodem Rosh Hashanah, my time, Omer Abaye, the Item Reish Lakish, Kidei Shetichle Hashanah V'Klolos Seha. So the Gemara asks, Bishlema, the Mishneh Torah, there I understand Tichla Hashanah the Klolos Seha before Rosh Hashanah. So that's Kadesh Tichla Hashanah V'Klolos Seha before Rosh Hashanah. El Shabbataras Kohanim, why should Ezra make this takana that we read the Klolos of Parshas Bechukosai right before Chag HaShavuos? Atu Atzeres Rosh Hashanah? And then the Gemara says, "In Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah, Chag Atzeres is also called a Rosh Hashanah. Disnanu Batzeres Al Peiros Ha'ilon. So, as far as the fruits on the trees are concerned, we are judged on Chag HaShavuos. And therefore, since we have this judgment on Chag HaShavuos, we could say that the last kriya before Chag HaShavuos, according to Takanas Ezra, will be a kriya of klolos, and which so I had it. You know, Ezra had in front of him the following: he's got two sets, two parshas of klolos. One here in Bechukosai, one in Ki Tovo and Sefer Dvarim, and he's got two Rosh Hashanahs. He's got the Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Tishrei and the Rosh Hashanah of Vav Sivan. And the Rosh Hashanah of Aleph Tishrei is for all Baye Olam. The Rosh Hashanah of Sivan is going to be for Peros Ha'ilon. But insofar as they're both Rosh Hashanah, they both need, respectively, a kriya of a klola in order to effectuate the principle of Tichle Shana uklola Sel. Now, in this Gemara of Ezra's Takana in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Tosis writes that the reason why we make a hefsek between Parshas Bechukosai and Chag HaShavuos, for example, this coming Shabbos we're going to read Bechukosai, the following Shabbos we're going to read Parshas Bamidbar, and then Motzei Shabbos and Sunday will be Chag HaShavuos. So why, in the context of Ezra, Tichle, Klol, Shana B'Klol Seh, why do we wedge in the Parshas Bamidbar between Parshas Bechukosai and Rosh Hashanah with Peyosila, meaning Chag HaShavuos? He says the following. This is in the third paragraph. He says, Lefisha Anu Rotzim Lahafsik Velikros Shabbos Achas Kodem Rosh Hashanah. He says, we would love to end and terminate this minhag, and we'll read, he says, we'll read Bamidbar as a wedge in between why we need desperately this hefsek, because otherwise if the Shabbos right before Rosh Hashanah we're going to read the klolos, and therefore we'll be maspich the klolos to Rosh Hashanah, that's not a good thing, that's not a good omen, so to speak, and therefore we're going to wedge the parsha of Bamidbar in between the Chukosai and Chag HaTzeres. And why are we going to read Bamidbar? Is the answer is that we don't want to be masmich the klolos of the Chukosai Tatzeres. We'd rather read the parsha of Bamidbar, which is before Atzeres, only by a split minute. So from this we see an amazing yesod that the kriya of Parshas HaTochacha is, and I quote, "Sgula nifla shetichle hashana uklolosel." It's an unbelievable thing. We have now a sgula to read Bechukosai before Rosh Hashanah, meaning Chag HaShavuos, kidei shetichle hashana uklolosel. You know, we have a lot of people who during Kriyas HaTorah, they're spaced out, or they're reading Sfarim. That's okay the whole year round, but it's not good this coming Shabbos on Parshas Bechukosai, because here we desperately need to plug in, to tune in to this parsha, and we should be thinking, as Hoshea formulates it, "Uneshalma Parm Sfasenu." Do you hear this, Rav Osai? Very important. Halacha Maisa. You know, sometimes during Kriyas HaTorah we tend to doze off, but he says this Shabbos don't think of dozing off. Why? Because the skula, the power that's inherited in the Shabbos, is that im chash v'shol nigzar, something yet gzeira against you on high, that this year something terrible is going to happen. Hine yotzanu yidecho v'senu b'kriyas hadvar me'ela u'me'ela yiskapu lanu kulam v'bracha. So he says that if Chas V'Shalom there was a gzeira against the person, lo tov, then he can fulfill his obligation through this kriya, because this kriya is full of lo tov. It's full of all the curses. And then he goes on to say the following, that there's a principle called the Shalom Parm Sfasenu. And if, what should we be thinking when we hear the Bechukosai, the Parashat Bechukosai? Again, we want to listen carefully. But is there any specific kavana that should be recommended? And the answer is yes. What is that specific kavana? That if chas v'sholom nigzer aleinu achas mimemtes haklolos shel parshas Bechukosai, there are all told 49 klolos, then he shouldn't think after he finished he says the following, that through this principle of Neshama Parm Sfasenu, when we're about to read the Memtes Klolos, if we concentrate on the Kriya, then Yatzani Yidei Chovas Aonesh. Fascinating application of Neshama Parm Sfasenu. Usually we think Neshama Parm Sfasenu means we brought a karbon, even though we didn't bring a karbon. Here what we're saying is that we got punished with the Memtes Klolos of Parshas Bechukosai, even though we are not getting punished at all. Physically, we're not suffering any onus. But there's a principle called Neshama Parnaso Seiru. And if at the time of the Kriya we are able to be having this kavana of Neshama Parnaso Seiru, then we're going to be spared all the clothes. It's unbelievable. Just to listen to the parasha and have in mind that this should be bimkom, as if this parasha was actually implemented. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens our parasha b'chukosei with the words, im b'chukosei teilechu es mishpatai tishmoru v'asisim osam. And Rashi says, what's im b'chukosei teilechu? The next part of the pasuk says, "Let's mitzvosai tishmoru." So it can't be that "bechukosai teilechu" is a reference to kiyum mitzvahs. Hamani mekayim im bechukosai teilechu shetiyu amelim b'torah. Amelim b'torah. So this is the message according to Rashi in this opening line of parashas bechukosai, and perhaps we can say that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew very well that Ezra down the line, Ezra Sofer, would establish a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making this cheshvin from the get-go, that Ezra is going to establish the Kriya of the Chukosai with its clothes before Chag Matan Torah, Chag HaShavuos. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts with the parsha by saying, B'chukosai teilech, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. It means that through the Amelus B'Torah, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chag HaShavuos, V'yas mitzvosei tishmor v'asisim osam, that we should fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah, and in that merit, muvtach lachem, you can have a guarantee, ki b'Chag HaShavuos hu Rosh Hashanah l'peros ha'ilon es baruch hu peros ha'ilon v'nasati gishmechek Gishmechem, the Itam, the Nosnaret, Yevula, the Eitz Asode, Yitain, period. So when we read this parsha before Rosh Hashanah, which is in the case of Chag HaShavuos, Rosh Hashanah with fruit juices for Peros HaElon, then we will be able to dedicate ourselves to Amelus B'Torah. Amelus B'Torah in this parsha is going to be the key to guarantee success. Amelim B'Torah is going to be the protection of Klal Yisrael. Muftak ki b'chag HaShavuos shehu Rosh Hashanah l'peros ha'ilon his baruchu b'peros ha'ilon. So you read the two psukim, im b'chukosei teilechu, and in the merit of Amelus B'Torah is v'nasati yishmachem b'itom. That's how we're going to undermine the klolos, and on the contrary be zoche to the great blessings. Now I was thinking, and with this I want to conclude, that perhaps we can offer an integration here of these two ideas. The idea that we began with, that what's unique about the parasha of Bechukosai and the brachas of the klolos is to bring about a Kiddush Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, because through the Jewish people, Hashem is Mefarsem Shmo Ba'olam, and that person Hashem Ba'olam is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. It's going to come through the brachos and the klolos of Bechukosai. And now if we add this concept of Neshalma Parmes Vaseidu, that if we focus and listen carefully to the parsha of Bechukosai that's being read before Rosh Hashanah lit Peros Ha'ilam, meaning before Chag HaShavuos, then basically we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to bring about the implementation of the brachos and the kolos. There's a Kiddush Hashem here in the fact that we are dedicated to Amelus B'Torah. That itself should be enough for Kiddush Hashem to validate and protect us from any sort of kola in the mishpat. So we have here the Kiddush Hashem that comes through Klal Yisrael. In the case of Befal, if actually we suffer Chas V'Shalom these curses, then the world looks and says, this must be from God. And that's a Pirsum Hashem, that's a Kiddush Hashem. But there's a way of avoiding the actual kiyum of those klolos. And instead, through the mechanism, the vehicle of Neshama Parnaso Seiru, it's ki'ilu, it's as if we suffered all those klolos. And that will bring about a situation in which we are protected from the din, the judgment of Chag HaShavuos on the Peiros HaIlon, and perhaps Peiros HaIlon means something symbolic and some sort of nafshi, religious state of being. And all this of v'yitein ha'aretz yivula v'yetz hasad v'yitein pirio is all in the aftermath of our kaviyachol receiving the blows of the klolos, which we never receive physically, but by reading the parsha in the Shalom of Parnas Vaseim, we're able to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, please protect us, there's no purpose in letting us perish, Chas V'Shalom, because you need us to the same extent that we need you. You want a vehicle to pierce my nest down in this world, and the answer is Klal Yisrael. So we should be zochet to the Kiddush Hashem of the brachos. We should be zochet to stave off any of the kiyum of the klolos by listening carefully to the parsha of the Chukosai, and in Mishalom the Parnas Vaseinu was if we receive the klolos, and moreover, the greatest Kiddush Hashem that would protect us is b'chukosai teilechu shetiyu amelim b'torah. May we be zochet to all the brachos. Kein yiratzon. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.